Jerry Bader Show, 10:35. Earl was debating a loyal listener during that entire news cycle on the memo, the dueling memos. You weren't trying to, but he was. So when, you know, if you're standing in the middle of the dance floor and someone comes up and starts dancing with you, Earl, now you're dancing. You're dancing. You have to admit, that was a pretty good analogy right off the top of my head. You're standing there, you're looking for the punch bowl. Somebody comes up and they start dancing with you. Congratulations, you are now dancing. So for someone who wasn't trying to debate, you sure sounded like someone who was debating. The point that Earl, I just heard Earl's side of the debate, we don't know what the facts are in the whole FISA court dispute. There is, however, one thing that nobody disagrees with on what's in the – it's really only one thing – in the Republican memo, and that is the FISA court was told that the dossier was paid opposition research, wasn't told by whom, and there's great debate over whether that's relevant. If the FISA court knew that this was oppo research or opposition research paid for by an opponent of Donald Trump's, does it matter? Does it matter? Earl says, I would think the judge would have asked. Okay, one explanation I heard from that is it would be routine not to mention the parties, to allow them anonymity. Hugh Hewitt, talk show host, and in his former life involved in this stuff, disagreed in the Washington Post. He said it was a glaring omission that the judge wasn't told that it's Hillary and the DNC. That is probably the most factual conflict. Everything else at this point is he said, he said. So we'll see if what Fox News is reporting, that intentionally Democrats set a trap, put a bunch of stuff in there they knew the president was going to have to redact. Again, I certainly don't put that past them. My only question is, and I don't have the answer to it, I'm just asking, wouldn't Republicans on the committee, most notably Nunes, have raised that? Hey, oh yeah, you know, wait a minute. So that's the only thing that leaves me a little bit at a loss there. I want to get through three items in the time left, Earl, so count them, three. Item one, another faculty backlash is brewing at the University of Wisconsin System President Ray Cross because Republican lawmakers got a heads up about Cross's far-reaching plan to restructure the two-year colleges, you know, those two-year campuses being folded into four-year campuses, while faculty, staff, and students were kept in the dark. The Milwaukee Journal Sentinel, from which I read, Karen Herzog, first reported last fall that Cross wanted to cluster two-year colleges with four-year campuses by region, part of a plan to stem rapid enrollment declines at the two-year campuses. The restructuring is the biggest shift for the UW system since its creation by the legislature in 1971. They were all separate colleges until then. A UW-Madison faculty group sent a letter to Cross on Tuesday, citing several emails obtained by Wisconsin Public Radio. The emails revealed the UW system president intentionally kept his plans a secret from campus governance groups so they couldn't kill the plan. Among the emails was one Cross sent October 17th to UW Regent Gerald Whitburn after the news leaked and before the regents formally approved it, getting hammered by the shared governance leaders because they weren't involved in the process. However, had they been involved, we wouldn't be doing anything. UW College's Chancellor Kathy Sandine, who oversees the 13 two-year campuses that are being restructured, did not know about Cross's plan until the day the Journal Sentinel broke the story. Cross had planned to share the news with chancellors the following day. When told Tuesday the faculty on some UW campuses were preparing letters of censure against Cross, Sandine said she wasn't surprised that a number of conversations had occurred prior to the announcement. One would have to vet a decision of this magnitude with elected officials to get feedback, she said. However, I was not privy to what was going on, nor was anyone on my team. I think we could have been very helpful with planning and pointing out potential problem areas and barriers. We have always proved ourselves to be team players. Sandine says the the two-year college system would have worked with, not against, Cross on this. Cross says, uh-uh. I don't really have an opinion on that other than this. Don't put anything in email anymore. There's an old joke about how skeptical you should be of sources. Another old reporter's joke. If your mother says she loves you, get a second source. Earl's like, oh, that's harsh. That's harsh. With email, don't put it in there unless you'd want your mom to see it. I mean, it's, or the whole world. It's just the way it is. And again, not to say in any way that I am immune to that. I have become much, much, much more vigilant these days when I put an email. It bothers some people. There are things where I'll say, I don't want to text or email. I want to discuss this on the phone. Because you know what? It is so much easier to text someone. The conversation can happen. It's like DVRing a phone call. That's what texting is. It's like DVRing a phone call or hitting pause on the DVR. You do it in the pace that you want to. And a lot of people don't realize texts remain. Strzok and Page are learning that. Just the way emails do. A quick comment, a relatively quick comment. Doesn't that sound like a law firm? Strzok and Page. How about Strzok out and turn the page? Now, couple of thoughts on the state Supreme Court race. Allow me again to recap or handicap this again, if you will. There are three candidates. Judicial conservative, Michael Skrenok, and then two liberals, Rebecca Dallet and Tim Burns. They're both quite liberal. Tim Burns is very, very liberal and is probably displaying it. Rebecca Dallet is very liberal, but is trying to conceal it. Or she was until she felt that Burns was pulling her to the left. She ran a TV ad in the Milwaukee and Madison markets that invoked Donald Trump. I felt that was an effort to bolster herself in those markets, which are going to be important to one of the liberal candidates making it through, and at least one will, and I want to stress the at least one part here. There's that danger that both could get through. So what she's trying to do is in the heart of very, 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 very blue Milwaukee and Dane counties, she's trying to go toe-to-toe with Burns, but doesn't want to talk about how she would litigate things the way Burns is. He's just saying, look, he's there to advance from the bench a legislative liberal agenda. He's made no bones about that. That he will legislate from the bench. He's made that crystal clear. She will too, but she's trying to obscure that fact a bit. And at Media Trackers, we've called her the Goldilocks candidate. Not too far right, not too far left, just right, which just really isn't true. Now, she released a web ad yesterday that tries to put her in the middle. She paints Burns as extreme, but not quite. She doesn't come, it just says the positions he took. She's very careful. But she's endorsed by Milwaukee County DA John Chisholm of John Doe Probe Infamy and others. She it seems like she's trying to have two Rebecca Dallets. That's the way it appears to me. And it will be interesting to see if that ad remains web ad only, or if she plays it, as she airs it up here in this part of the state. That would be really interesting. I just find that a fascinating strategy. The thing I want to stress, here's something else that's going to be very important about the state Supreme Court race, both the primary and potentially the general election in April. There are those of us who believe that there is a huge enthusiasm gap nationally, yes, but particularly here in Wisconsin. There's great debate as to whether that played a role in the 10th state Senate race. I believe it did. I just don't know how much. And I also believe that it is fueled, at least in part, by Donald Trump and the way the left absolutely despises him. But I don't know how much. We're going to find out, I think, on February 20th. We could find out the hard way as conservatives if both Dalet and Burns advance. How could that happen? Through the roof enthusiasm on the left, apathy on the right. It would be that simple. Here's what Tim Burns has been trying to do with a hard tack to the left. You know the old joke about if you and a friend are running from a lion, you don't need to be faster than the lion, you just need to be faster than your friend? All Tim Burns is trying to do is beat Rebecca Dalet in the primary. That's all he has to do. He doesn't have to beat Michael Scrinach. Michael Scrinach has to beat one of them. It's much more difficult. I have this feeling, I think Burns is going to advance. And if the enthusiasm gap is as bad as some people think it is, they could both advance. It's a real danger. Which is why I keep preaching Michael Scrinach. February 20th. Get out and vote. If he doesn't advance, you're dealing with two very liberal candidates. If Michael Scrinach is out on the 20th, Michael Gableman, conservative jurist, is going to be replaced by a liberal judicial activist. That's what's going to happen. At that point, I won't have any advice for you. That'll be tough because I will vote. I may have to resort to the write-in again. I will vote. I'm trying to imagine myself voting for either one of them. Pro-life, any other number of things would preclude me. So anyway, we will have Judge Scrinach on the 16th, and maybe even one more time after that before the primary. There, I am now stepping off my little pulpit. And I want to close the show talking about the woman who appears to be willing to give up $560 million if she cannot remain anonymous. Wow. It's 10:48.
The Jerry Bader Show.